Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sorry, Sean. I didn't know what was happening.
That's my mistake, Joe.
I was frightened and there was complete silence. Okay, we got the Tomlin News Conference coming up. And we got the Cincinnati Bengals coming up. And I would have to say that this is not overstating it. Somebody would have to tell me that there has been a team in NFL history that has suffered two losses like this in a row ever. I mean, what are they doing, Sean? They led the Jets by a million points. It was 38-24 with 10 minutes left in the game.
Well, we know how high-powered that Jets attack with Justin Fields has been.
And they wind up giving up 23 fourth-quarter points to the Jets, and you saw all the crazy crap that happened in that game. The Jets finally winning, and that was nothing compared to what happened against the Chicago Bears. So the Jets lose, or the Bengals lose to both at home, by the way. They lose to the Jets 39-38, and then the next week they give up 16 points and 30 points in the second half, 16 in the fourth quarter to the Bears, a team that they led, actually they were losing for a long time. In fact, they were down 41-27 with under 2 minutes left to the Bears. They come back and go ahead 42-41 with 54 seconds left after, I believe, recovering an onside kick or some such thing. And then they lose on a 58-yard pass. Who in history has lost two games like that in a row? So here the Bengals sit, and man, this would have a much different feel this game if they were 5-4, which they should be. Really, I guess you could say they should be 4-5 because they probably shouldn't have won or had any chance to win the Bears game. That was like a miracle that they even got back in it at the end. Here goes Tom.
Quick synopsis of the last performance. And really, after coming through the tape, my perspective hadn't changed a whole lot on the significant components of the game and why it unfolded the way it unfolded. We certainly were not good enough in possession down play on offense, and that affected us in a lot of ways. First and foremost, the scoreboard. You got to possess the ball in an effort to score. And certainly if you're not doing a good enough job on possession downs, you need to have some big play splash. And we didn't really have either. Sometimes you can hit a 50-yard ball or what have you and flip the field and change the trajectory of that. And so a combination of possession down failures coupled with a lack of big-time field-flipping plays produced the outcome that it did. At the same time, it alters your time of possession. I thought we had the bones of a really good run game by plan and performance, but I think Jalen only had 14 carries. That happens when you don't win enough possession downs and maintain possession of the ball. Flip side, on the other side, the defense ends up on the field, the time of possession a lot. I thought we had the bones of a good run-stopping defense for the game, but as the game wore on, I thought we wore down defensively because of the imbalance in terms of the time of possession. And so it just speaks to the significance of playing good ball on third down. offensively. We certainly know that, but we certainly suffered the consequences of not doing so on Sunday night in L.A. For us, it really wasn't anything earth-shattering, to be quite honest with you, or things that we haven't seen. They didn't pressure us a lot. Most people don't pressure Aaron a lot. They did things schematically to make us distribute the ball elsewhere other than DK. Well, we see that week in and week out. I just think, you know, from a planning perspective and a playing perspective, all of us involved, coaches and players, we didn't do a good enough job positioning the others to be impactful, and the others didn't make enough plays. And that's just the reality of it. So with that understanding, man, we go back to work. I think on the other side, you know, I'm feeling some stability there that we've gotten really solid with Jalen Ramsey and Kyle Duggar at safety. I think there's been a reduction in some of the big plays. I think we're making people earn it more. I think that's helping us in a lot of ways. I thought our possession down play was improved in that space. And so I'm excited about that stability that we've got at the safety position between those two. They hadn't had a lot of it, and so it's reasonable to expect the trajectory of some of those things to improve. Certainly, we didn't win the turnover battle. That's the X factor. When some other things aren't going well, you can always lean on that, and that's why culturally we value the protection and preservation of the ball, be it running, throwing, or catching, and the ball searching on defense. What a good day for us in that regard. We turned the ball over a couple times on offense, man, drop passes and overthrows, and certainly we didn't settle under a punt in the kicking game as well. And so, you know, there's a lot to be learned from that performance. Usually when you're learning, that means you're not successful, but it's an opportunity to learn nonetheless. We're excited about getting back in AFC North play, man, and getting hyper-focused on the opportunity that is this week in Akershore versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Before I get into that, man, I just want to give you a quick injury update. Cole Holcomb is still working his way back to us, man. He'll be a limited participant to start the week, and we'll see where that participation goes in terms of the amount and the quality of it. Slay is in the concussion protocol, and so we'll let the protocol determine his availability. Peppers was running in a limited capacity the latter part of last week. I'd imagine that'll make him a limited participant tomorrow, and we'll kind of go from there. Isaac Seumalo is expected to participate in some capacity and then kind of build and go on from there. But we're optimistic about his return. Scotty Miller has been cleared to practice with his broken finger. And we have some other bumps and bruises associated with play that may limit some people, and there may be some veteran players, et cetera, that we manage at the early portions of the week this time of year. But none of those we expect to be significant in terms of player availability. If so, I'll give you guys an update. Now on to the Bengals. I'll start first with the defense. You know, they traded Logan Wilson, and so they got a young linebacker tandem. And that's been, you know, that's kind of the mentality that I've had. What's new with the Bengals? We played them just a short number of weeks ago. They just played in only two games since then. And so, you know, moving on from Logan Wilson, man, and the young linebacker tandem has my attention. Studied both guys a lot in the draft. Both guys were wise beyond their years and displayed that in their play. It's not shocking that they're getting an opportunity to play because of that personal maturity that I observed from those two in the draft process. They're certainly doing a nice job of communicating and being a hub of communication for the defense. They've had some instability on the edge with Trey missing some time, with Shamar missing some time. And so we're certainly respectful of what they're capable of on the edge, particularly if Trey is available. We just don't understand what that might be. I know from a planning perspective this time of week, as you start to put together plans, we better be inclusive. We better assume that he's playing. We better have enough schematic answers because he's the type of guy that can really dictate what transpires in stadiums. As I mentioned the last time we were getting ready to prepare for them, this guy had 35 sacks in the last 2 years, and 23 and 24, 17 and a half in both. That's the most in football, excluding no one. And so he's the type of guy that can obviously change the climate. The last time we played these guys in Akershore, I think he had 3 sacks. And so we better proceed with that understanding. In the secondary, they're really gaining some traction, man, with a collection of guys that's been working together now for a couple of years. DJ Turner's playing really well. I think he leads the NFL in passes defense. He had a big game against us. Last time we played him, he largely traveled with DK for one-on-one matchup purposes. Dax Hill is versatile. He plays inside and out. Last week or the last time they played versus Chicago, he was a major component of the pressure game. They blitzed him a lot from that nickelback position. They got a safety tandem now that's played together for a couple of years as we get to the hump of the season, get on the other side of it with Geno Stone and Battle. Man, they've been back there together for 20-plus games now, and you see that. You see that cohesion that comes with working together, how they divide the labor up and how they work together. Geno Stone is usually the guy in the middle of the field and plays free safety. He's got 10 interceptions in 23 and 24. He's got good angles to the ball, ball judgment, vision of the quarterback, things of that nature. And so we got to do a real good job there managing, you know, our talents versus theirs. Al Golden, I think we got a better sense of how he's trying to do it, having been in the stadium with him. He's new to them as a coordinator, but we got a pretty decent sample size now as we lean in on this game in terms of some of the things that he tries to do within their schematics and how he deploys people. On the other side of the ball, I'll go to the offense. It's 4 games now with Flacco at quarterback, and so it's less mystical about, you know, how are they going to utilize his talents, how he's going to utilize the talents of those that he works with, how he distributes the ball in a variety of circumstances, possession down ball versus pressure, et cetera, the lens through which he sees their schematics. And as I mentioned the last time we played him, his processing, the fluidity of it, his experience is an asset to him and to them. And I imagine that's why they acquired him. I think that's played out and unfolded in a big way for him and them with each passing week. He threw for 470 yards last week. I think with each passing week, you're seeing another dynamic of him getting comfortable within their attack. The Bears, for example, spent a lot of time in two high safeties trying to minimize T and Chase, and he hit 8 passes to Brown for 75 yards in the form of checkdowns and so forth. And so I just think he's getting increasingly comfortable with the totality of his group, when to go to who and why. That creates a challenge for us, but it also creates clarity for us because the more snaps they have on video, the more evident his and their personality is for those that compete against them. And so excited about pitting our skills against theirs. Certainly the receiver tandem is awesome and special, but they do a nice job distributing the ball, man. Noah Fant has made a lot of plays, increasingly so, since Gesicki has been injured. And as I mentioned last week, man, I really think Joe really found Brown in the passing game as well. They have other supplementary guys that you got to be able to deal with, and certainly you better be ready to deal with them as you do some of the things that you do to minimize those top two targets. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about their run game. I think that they've done a nice job of running the ball as well. I think Joe Flacco handles the RPO game very well. They're able to call more runs. When appropriate, they hand the ball off, and they've been getting good, you know, good yards per in that area. But when you load the box, man, he'll throw the ball on the perimeter to Chase. Chase has caught a lot of balls, particularly against the Jets, for example. Man, I can't tell you how many run game alternative passes he caught on the perimeter as the Jets loaded the box. And so just with each passing week, you're seeing more and more of what they're capable of with Joe. It aids you in prep, but it doesn't make the challenge of the work any less daunting. But that's what we're here for as competitors. It's big-time AFC North ball. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the special teams component. Darren has been their coordinator for a long time. Charlie Jones ran a kickback the other week. I think he's got 3 returns for touchdowns in his 3-year career, one punt return and 2 kickoff. And so the field position component of this game is and always will be significant. Darren and Danny Smith have been going at it a long time, man. Those 2 Grizzly veterans will be another chapter in their story this weekend. All of the above will be reasons why to tune in. and be big factors for why this game's a big one for us. I'm excited about the prep process. They show your excitement for a game like this through the prep process. And so been a good couple of days from a staff perspective, formulating strategy, dividing the workup, et cetera. Can't wait to get on the field with the team tomorrow and continue. I'll pause and open it up for questions.
Mike, you mentioned this at the beginning. The play disparity every game has been on average like 14 or 15 plays. Is that concerning to you? How do you change that?
On some level it is, on some level it isn't. Sometimes it can get out of whack because you're taking the ball away, for example. And if you're taking the ball away a bunch like we did a couple of weeks back, and you're giving the offense the short fields, it can alter your time of possession, or like our last outing, if you're not converting on third downs, it could be a negative thing. And so I'm largely not over concerned with that in general, but how are we coming to that is a bigger discussion for me.
Aaron expressed a desire, a hope to maybe get Jaylen Warren some more touches. Can that dovetail with your hopes of trying to get better on third down, maybe implement Jaylen on third downs more?
We win more third downs, we'll get Jaylen more touches. It's as simple as that. You know, Jaylen was having the trajectory of a good day in L.A., but we didn't convert enough third downs for you to really, really feel it.
So you won't have any interest in leaving him on the field for third downs as opposed to putting Kenny out there?
I'm comfortable with both backs in possession down ball, not taking anything away from Jaylen. You know, he plays a lot on first and second down. You got to give him opportunities to catch a break. And so sometimes it's on third down, sometimes it's not. Sometimes we'll give other ball carriers the start of a possession. He just simply cannot play every down, but I'm completely comfortable utilizing both guys on possession down play.
Like you mentioned, you know, teams are still paying DK a lot of attention. We're 8-9 games in. I mean, should the other guys have made steps now to sort of mitigate that?
And at times we certainly have. But last week was an example of us not doing so. But in other weeks, it certainly has been the case. Each and every week, it seems like somebody, whether it's from the wide out room or the tight end room, steps up and has quality contributions that balance that out. But certainly that was not the case in L.A.
You guys had some moving pieces up front on the offensive line. How do you assess the job that they did in pass protection and then within that, Rodgers' ability to move and adjust to that pass rush?
You know, specifically talking about Spencer Anderson and Pete, I thought that they were above the line. And so that's the new component of it relative to the question that you asked. But just largely as an offensive line, certainly we could have protected better in that football game.
Was that because Spencer, you like him so much in that role that you did the kind of the repeating him to guard instead of just?
Correct.
Mike, how much does moving Ramsey to safety kind of affect the plan for Chase and Higgins in this game from relative to what you guys did last time?
You mean their plan or our plan?
Your plan.
You know, I think we're still very much in development. Jaylen is not the issue, man. He's got flexibility. It's about the flexibility of those around him and the talents of those around him. But certainly over the last 2 weeks, man, just his presence consistently at free safety has been a stabilizing force for us on the back end, and I'd imagine that's not going to change.
What have you seen from James Pierre the last couple weeks filling in there at outside corner?
James is always game. I thought he played really well, but I thought he's played really well when called upon all year. I think it's reflective of how he prepares and the level of professionalism that he brings day in and day out. Man, it's been cool to watch the growth and development of his career over the time that he's been here. If you remember, man, he was an undrafted COVID guy. And I think globally, man, it was single-digit guys that made rosters undrafted that COVID year. And he's been one of them. I didn't meet him until we reported to camp, you know. And you know, that's a memory. But just over the course of his career, I think since he's been here, he's played in more games than anyone on our roster. He's always available. He's a dynamic special teams player, and he's a rising defender, particularly in 2025.
Mike, what can you do to...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Actually, what do you think is probably some of the biggest reasons why you guys have probably been a little more inconsistent this year when it comes to great performance against the Colts and then, you know, this kind of performance against the Chargers?
You know, I think it's just complimentary football or lack thereof at times. There have been some games where we haven't played the way we desired defensively due to tangible and intangible reasons. There have been a couple of games offensively where we've done similar things, and I just think that the more that you can come to the party with a high level of consistency in all three phases, the better chance you have to play complementary, positive complementary football. And there's certainly been several weeks where one way or the other we've been lacking in a certain component of our collective that's you know, made the engineer the victory a little bit more challenging.
Obviously, there's individual aspects of why whatever unit was struggling, but is there anything you do globally for the whole team to try to foster better complementary footballs, or something you can inject into the team at this point?
Well, largely on a routine basis, not in a reactionary sort of way, we work to have as much competitive football as we can have. Steelers versus Steelers. We started most of our practices with some form of competitive football, one offense versus one defense. We finish most of our practices with one offense versus one defense and some form of competitive football. I just think competing is the catalyst for raising the floor on both sides of the ball and providing an avenue for complementary play. But we don't wait for us to be lacking in a particular area before we do that. That's just part of how we choose to approach it culturally. I think there's no substitute for high-level competition. That's what waits on us in stadiums. And so as much as you can do that in preparation, I think is beneficial. While at the same time, you have to provide looks because you're going to get somebody that deploys different talents, different schematics, and so it's something worth balancing.
Mike, Aaron made some uncharacteristic mistakes and missed throws, not seeing things. You credit Jesse Minter with doing things that kept you guys off schedule at times. What do you guys have to do coaching-wise to counter what you guys saw there and keep it from being a blueprint to use against this offense?
You know, as I mentioned, it wasn't the first time we saw that blueprint, and so I'm not going to pretend like some of the things that we saw that created the negative result was new. We've conquered it before, and so it's reasonable to expect us to conquer it again. But we did not have a good day Sunday night, certainly.
With Aaron not having a good day, the high throws, some of those misses, are there any long-term concerns of things that have been recurring with him specifically in that game, or is it just an off night?
I'm not going to, you know, chalk it up to an off night, but there are no long-term concerns.
Mike, what have been the concerns from a third down standpoint offensively here over the last three games?
As I mentioned, you know, you know, we haven't done a good enough job of putting others other than DK in position to win and win big, and they haven't won big enough. We got to do a better job there.
When you say you're not going to chalk it up to an off night, but no long-term concerns, is that because of Jesse Minter, or is there something else?
I'm just not going to allow your words to be my words. That's all.
How would you describe Aaron?
Sunday night was what it was, but I have no long-term reservations about his ability to play the position and play the position at a high level for us.
Mike talked about creating more plays dynamically, you know, getting down the field. MVS, he's been here a week now. Will he have an opportunity to maybe show you guys what he's got this week?
We'll see what the week holds for him and all the others on practice squad, man. We're not opposed to elevating people and giving them an opportunity to contribute. I think it's just been about every game this year where we've elevated someone and utilized their talents. Last week it was Mark Robinson, who we just reacquired. Several other weeks, man, it's been Trey Sermon, for example. And so I'm certainly open to evaluating Scantling, his ability to know what to do and the quality of that execution and how it might fit into what we're trying to do offensively in an effort to engineer victory, certainly.
You guys let go of Juan Thornhill, who went from being a starter to a guy that you get player that you guys didn't even call upon as a backup. What happened that lead to his being let go of the team?
You know, the play wasn't up to snuff, and Castro was available to us. We went through the team development process with Castro. Thought he had a good camp, good preseason. He played his tail off in that practice against the Bucks. I think that's why, you know, they stole him from us, and we had an opportunity to reacquire him. We've absorbed some attrition since he left, and so it was an opportunity to get him back. It's more about Castro and less about Juan.
When it comes to time of possession and the number of plays run, would you like to see the running game leaned on a little bit more, especially early in games?
Again, as I said a million times, man, if we win enough third downs, we'll run the ball more because we'll have more snaps.
Mike, can you talk about like results or process? Obviously, you get some games, there's six takeaways, five takeaways, and zero. Do you watch the tape even like Sunday night? Do you see it's just, I don't say luck, but the other team took care of the ball? You still like the process in terms of getting splash plays defensively?
Yeah, we don't chalk it up to luck, man. It's a culture that we work on, the ball awareness, the ball hunting, when to appropriately do so, where we're tackling it and compromised, et cetera. It is an agenda of ours. Sometimes it turns up in the form of five or six takeaways. Sometimes it turns up in the form of zero, but it doesn't lessen our attention to that area and our commitment to that area. But it's twofold. It's not only the hunting of the football, it's the preservation of the football on the other side of it. And that's one of the things that I was referring to when I was talking about the competition component of practice, stealer versus stealer. When we place an emphasis on ball searching and hunting, we're also fortifying our ball security from an offensive perspective. And certainly the turnover ratio is something that we desire to be great in. And so it's two sides to that coin. But when you're working both sides of it.
Pat has frequently had success against Cincinnati over the years. Is that because of something, how his skill set meshes against their defensive approach, or is that something that's transferable, you think, to Jonnu and your other tight ends potentially?
They play a lot of zone, or they've played a lot of zone, particularly with their previous coordinator, and that's why he's had some big games against those guys. There's no secret that Muth has got very good zone awareness, and he's a zone killer, and that's why he's had some of the games that he's had against those guys.
Even when Calvin came back from injury, Keyshawn stated as a punt returner, was that on merit because of what he was doing? And then how does his lack of ball security affect?
You know, as Calvin came back from injury, we wanted him to focus on getting back up to speed offensively. Key had done an above-the-line job in that space, but certainly we'll look at it this week and make plans accordingly given what transpired in the last game.
Mike, what do you need to do better this time in stopping Jamar Chase?
You know, make them throw the ball elsewhere. But when you make them throw the ball elsewhere, it's guys like T. Higgins that are capable of getting you as well. They've got big-time talent. They're unique in the ways that they distribute him the ball. They got some RPO football where they have some call runs. And if you load the box, they'll throw him the ball on the perimeter. It might not be significant. It might be 5 or 6 yards here, but it keeps him engaged and included in what it is that they're doing. And dynamic players like that, man, they got to touch it. And so the more he touches it, the more impactful he's going to be on the game. And so it starts first and foremost with working to minimize his touches. You don't always have control of that. But when he does touch the ball, you certainly have to tackle the catch because he's one of the best run after guys on the planet. And that's without question.
Mike, are you worried that you guys have become maybe a little too predictable on offense with your personnel groups and that stuff?
I don't.
Why not? I mean, you said that Chargers didn't have the blueprint necessarily for, like, they didn't do something new, but you guys weren't successful at it.
Because so we didn't execute well.
Mike, where are Will Howard and Corey Trice on, are they on track to return from IR? They've been practicing.
Yeah, we got a decision to make, and I'm sure we will, and when we do, we'll let you guys know.
Following up on your earlier comment about, you've seen the blueprint before that stopped your offense. What do you guys have coaches have to do to better counter that? You know, seeing that moving forward, if more teams started doing that?
As I mentioned, we've worked to put guys in a variety of positions to move the chains on third down other than DK. It's their job to do so when we do. We've done a better job of that in the past in other games than we did on Saturday. The results speak for itself. And so with that understanding, we're going back to work this week, and we got to put together a better plan. We got to make more plays.
You talked about having depth at corner as a part of the decision to move Ramsey to safety. With Slay potentially out, do you still feel like you have enough depth there to do that?
I do.
What guys, maybe beyond the one, obviously Joey, but I mean, Eccleston, Pierre, are there more options beyond that available to you?
And all of those guys have played and have played quality ball and played quality ball in the last game, and so it's reasonable to expect them to position themselves, particularly with a week's work, if Slay is unavailable to do so again. He certainly will be limited during the course of the week because he's in the protocol. When he's limited, that provides additional reps for other people. James Pierre, for example, played a good football game on a limited amount of reps last week. If Slay's unavailable this week, that just means more reps for him during the course of the process of preparation, and so I'm comfortable with our depth there.
Anyone else?
When you play a game that's in the 30s against a team, you play them again 4 weeks later or whatever, do you have a more aggressive mindset in terms of your decisions or in terms of what you want the play calling to be because you figure you need a lot of points?
I've just been in this league long enough to know that every game unfolds a little bit differently. I try to put together a plan in totality to engineer a victory regardless of circumstances, and sometimes some of those discussions are best had when you're there. You can waste a lot of time pondering hypotheticals this early in the week. We better just put together a really good plan in totality.
All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS.
Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Thanks, guys.
Very interesting. A little back and forth with Brooke Pryor of ESPN. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Do we have that yet, Sean? The back and forth with Brooke Pryor, about Aaron Rodgers and whether there are any long-term concerns or whether it was an off night. That was a very odd, especially if she hadn't followed up. Although then again, it just got odder when she did follow up his second answer. Do we have that? Let's go.
With Aaron not having a good day, the high throws, some of those misses, are there any long-term concerns of things that have been recurring with him specifically in that game, or is it just an off night?
I'm not going to chalk it up to an off night, but there are no long-term concerns.
When you say you're not going to chalk it up to an off night, but no long-term concerns, is that because of Jesse Minter, or is there something else?
I'm just not going to allow your words to be my words. That's all.
How would you describe
Aaron? Sunday night was what it was, but I have no long-term reservations about his ability to play the position and play the position at a high level for us.
I'm confused on that. The first question, all she said was, do you have long-term concerns or would you chalk it up to an off night? What would be the concern about, there wasn't an accusation there. You know what I mean? Like, why was he saying you're not going to allow your words to be my words? Because his answer there was, I'm not going to chalk it up to an off night. But there are no long-term concerns. So what are you going to chalk it up to?
If I'm just trying to figure out what he's saying with that, he's saying there's no long-term concerns. We know that. But maybe he doesn't like using the term off night because it gives an excuse for players to be subpar throughout the season. Does that make any sense? Like, you almost dismiss it as something that happens to everyone if you say off night.
Just a very odd interaction, as was the comment the other night when
he's very guarded with how he's talking about Rodgers.
Or not. I don't know. Because the comment the other night, he had a chance to protect Rodgers again when somebody said, how would you assess his performance? And he said, how would you? Next.
He just doesn't want to speak on it at this point, basically, keeping it his words to a minimum.
That was just a very odd interaction. And then the Warren thing stands out to me. The Warren Commission here. I get it. He's saying that we don't have the ball enough. We don't convert enough third downs to give Warren more touches. Well, maybe if you gave him touches by the goal line instead of Caleb Johnson twice in a row, you keep the ball there. Maybe if you give him the ball more early in the second half against Green Bay, you keep the ball there. Maybe if you give him more to him in the first Cincinnati game, and I'm not complaining necessarily about the offense, but if you give him the ball there, you keep Cincinnati off the field. But really the question there from Benzie was, why don't you play him on third downs? And Tomlin said he simply can't play every down. He basically needs opportunities to catch a break. Catch a break? You just told us your offense is never on the field. He doesn't need a break. The guy's a bulldog. He's touching the ball like 16 times a game. He's playing less than half the snaps. The question there really would have been, Mike, how is it that your best offensive player the other night played less than half the snaps? And if his answer was we couldn't convert third downs, I would have repeated the question. I get it. You can't convert third downs, but let me re-ask that. How is your best player on the field for less than half the snaps? How is that possible? Why isn't he playing third downs? He didn't play a single third down the other night, according to Nick Faribault. That's not giving him the occasional break. That's never using him on third downs. How is he not in the game when you're down at the Chargers goal line on a fourth down? Your best player's not on the field? What? And it wasn't like a 4th-and-12. That just doesn't make sense with Jaylen Warren. We'll get into all of that and more. Injury-wise, it sounds like he's optimistic about Seumalo, but it also seems from observation like Seumalo is just touch and go, almost from series to series, right? That does not seem like a great situation right now. All right, let's talk to Brian Batko as we do after every Tomlin news conference. We'll do that next. Fan Hotline presented.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.